This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 10 minutes after 6, part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. And now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from Tuesday's close read like this. May corn was up 2.25 to 358. July corn was up 2.25 to 366.5. And September corn was up 2.25 to 374. May beans were up 0.25 to 817.75. July beans were up 0.5 to 830.75. And August beans were up 0.5 to 837. May wheat was up 2.5 to 430.5. July wheat was up 2.25 to 439.5. And September wheat was up 2.5 to 448. May bean meal was down $3.40 to 288.40. July bean meal was down $3.40 as well to 293.20. And August bean meal was down $3.10 to 294.80. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 3 cents to 26.81. July bean oil was down 3 cents as well to 27.10. And August bean oil was also down 3 cents to 27.24. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon. In Illinois, corn planted last year on May 5th was 68% planted. The four-year average is 66%, and on May 5th this year, only 10% was planted. Corn emerged last year at 12%. The four-year average is 22%, and on May 5th, only 2% was emerged. Soybeans planted last year on May 5th was 26%. The four-year average is 16%, and on May 5th this year, 3% was planted. On 18 states, corn planted was 36% last year. Four-year average is 46%, and on May 5th this year, 23% was planted. Corn emerged on 18 states last year. 7% emerged. Four-year average is 13% emerged, and on May 5th this year, 6% was emerged. Soybeans planted on 18 states, 14% was planted a year ago. 14% is the four-year average, and on May 5th, only 6% was planted. And emerged, soybeans emerged last year at 19%. The four-year average is 19%, and on May 5th in 18 states, 18% was emerged. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 2 cents at 316 to 348. Soybean bids are 2 cents higher at 746 to 791. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 4 cents at 330 to 352. Soybean bids were steadied 2 cents higher at 763 to 796. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 3 cents at 332 to 363. Soybean bids were 1 to 3 cents higher at 766 to 812. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steadied to 2 cents lower at 796 to 809. Basis is unchanged to down 2 at 35 under to 22 under the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 272.20 to 293.20, down $3.40 a ton, with basis steady at 21 under to option to July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents higher at 347 to 367, with basis unchanged at 20 under to option to July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids mixed at 349 to 358, with basis down 1 to 6 at 18 under to 9 under the July. Soybeans ended down 3 to 8 cents at 792 to 803, with basis down 3 to 8 at 39 under to 28 under the July. New crop wheat prices were up 2 to 3 cents at 410 to 433, with basis unchanged to up 1 at 30 under to 7 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mostly 2 cents higher at 379 to 380. Their soybean prices are mixed, with quotations at 822 to 826. Soft wheat closed up 3 cents at 469 to 470. And Milo ended the day 3 cents higher at 363 to 372. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery. Corn in the northern part of the state at 326 to 354. And soybeans at 768 to 798. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 342 to 358. Soybeans at 788 to 810. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 320 to 359. Soybeans at 778 to 809. And June, July wheat at 415 to 445. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June live cattle stayed steady at 112.27. August live cattle gained 67 cents to 109.07. And October live cattle gained 57 cents to 109.45. May feeders were up $1.27 to 137.30. August feeder cattle were up $1.25 to 145.60. And September feeders were up 92 cents to 146.47. Finally, lean hogs for May were up 67 cents to 83.05. June lean hogs were down 50 cents to 89.25. And July lean hogs were down 55 cents to 92.12. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield once more this morning for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting the National Daily Direct Dog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded steady. In a range of 72 to 81.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 79.34. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were sharply lower with good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 52 to 58, 4 to 5 weighted 56 to 61, 5 to 6 weighted 59 to 65, and over 600 pounds 62 to $67. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $51 to $57. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled 15,620. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 116.75 to 122. And on a dress basis at 193 to 196. Choice heifers on live basis trade at 120 to 122. And on a dress basis at 195 to 196. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 308 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass is 85.67, which is $2.78 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses are $223.87, which is $3.13 lower, while select carcasses are $211.83, which is $2.15 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000, compared to 120,000 last week and 120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 472,000 compared to 474,000 last week and 463,000 one year ago. A recap of the Fairview Sale Barn auction for Tuesday, May 7th had receipts up 489 compared to last week's slaughter. Steers and heifers sold 4 to 550 lower. Slaughter cows and slaughter bulls were steady. Slaughter steers choice at 121 to 125.50. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at $85. Slaughter heifers choice at 120 to 125.50. Slaughter cows premium average dressing at $86 to $99 with some high dressing up to $106. Breakers average dressing at $52 to $62.50. Boners average dressing at $49.50 to $60. And leans from $40.50 to $51. And slaughter bulls were $73 to $87.50. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. By the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. Industry leaders from throughout the world were in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, for a forum on African swine fever. Pork Checkoff Senior Vice President Dr. David Pyburn says there were 15 countries represented at the event.
This meeting started out principally as a Mexico-Canada-U.S. meeting, pulling those three countries together to look at our preparedness, to look at how we can work together on prevention of African swine fever, and then to also discuss compartmentalization and regionalization to enable any of our three countries to pick up the trade in the face of an outbreak in one of our countries, pick up trade just as quick as we can, and start trading safely again with our export partners. The meeting expanded. It went into a number of other countries that attended, including countries from the EU. Brazil was there. China was there. Denmark, Italy, Spain, Czech Republic. I mean, a number of countries. So it turned into a larger discussion of ASF really on a global basis. But I think it went very well. I think we came out of there with an idea on a framework of how to work together, especially amongst those North American countries, as we continue to work on prevention and preparedness for African swine fever.
There is a significant amount of trade between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Pyburn says it is important the three countries cooperate on prevention and the response.
In our infrastructure right now, as we look at both prevention and response to an outbreak, where are the infrastructure deficiencies that we see in each of the countries and what needs to be worked on, and especially focusing in then even harder on enhanced biosecurity for our countries to make sure that we're doing everything we can at a country level on the borders and also at a farm level on individual farms to enhance biosecurity and to try to keep this disease out of our herds. And then if we were to get it, how are we going to work together on business continuity and plan ahead on working together for business continuity, which involves those concepts of regionalization and compartmentalization, so you can still participate in safe trade, even in the face of an outbreak of this disease. And then the overarching umbrella that goes with all of that is communication now, ahead of time of any kind of an outbreak, and then communication planning in the face of an outbreak.
In the next Pork Checkoff Report in the afternoon edition of the Ag Show, there will be additional information about the threat of African swine fever. And while on the subject, South Africa's agriculture ministry this week confirmed two more outbreaks of African swine fever there. In a news release, the South Africa Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries says the two outbreaks follow an outbreak reported in April. Samples collected by agriculture officials confirmed the same virus is responsible for all three outbreaks, and all three occurred relatively close to each other in central South Africa. The affected areas have been placed under quarantine, and disease control measures are underway in the region where the outbreaks were found. Officials there are urging farmers to ensure they are buying pigs from reputable sources, among taking other biosecurity measures. The spread of African swine fever prompted heightened biosecurity measures from North American countries, including the cancellation of June's World Pork Expo in Iowa. The event typically draws global participants to Des Moines from countries that currently have African swine fever outbreaks. Meanwhile, Tyson Foods executive Noel White told stakeholders during an earnings call this week that the threat is real, that African swine fever could enter the United States, furthering justification of strict U.S. measures to prevent the spread. Continuing on in the subject of pork, a recent study announced by the University of Illinois shows consumers prefer the new standard cooking temperature of pork. The Department of Agriculture in 2011 changed the recommendation for pork chops and select other whole cuts of pork internal temperature minimums from 160 degrees to 145 degrees Fahrenheit. The University of Illinois research team had already demonstrated that trained taste testers preferred pork chops cooked to 145 degrees, but the team wanted to try their luck with the average consumer this time. Like the trained taste testers, average consumers were asked to rate juiciness, tenderness, flavor, and overall acceptability of pork cooked to 145, 160, and 180 degrees Fahrenheit. Researchers say the results were just what they expected, as consumers rated juiciness, tenderness, and flavor much higher in pork chops cooked to 145 degrees than any of the other temperatures. The USDA cautions, however, that ground pork and variety meats, including organs, should still be cooked to 160 degrees. Commodities opened on Monday under pressure after a weekend when trade tensions with China heightened following a President Trump tweet. Andy Eubank has the report.
The president is not happy with how the talks are progressing, and he tweeted that tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods will move from a 10% rate up to 25%. The jump is scheduled for Friday. Arlen Suderman with INTL FC Stone says if it happens this week, it doesn't directly add more pain to the ag sector. Why?
Because China has already retaliated with tariffs on ag, but even that doesn't matter because China has basically told its buyers, you will not buy from the United States. Only government buyers will do that buying. And so the private buyers, even when they've wanted to pay the tariff, know that they better not do that. So that doesn't directly add any more pain to us.
Side effects also include trade talks breaking apart. That removes the possibility of a trade deal that includes significant grain being sold to China. It also adds more stress to many economies here and throughout the world.
The Chinese economy, to the U.S. economy, to the world economy, and when the global economy starts to come under added stress, demand for commodities goes down. So the impact is indirect. Today's market impact was largely because of the computer traders, we call them the algorithmic traders, simply reading the headlines and dumping sell orders across the spectrum. And for the most part, the human element stayed out of their way.
Suderman said there are plenty of rumors that China tried to renegotiate previously agreed upon areas of the deal last week during Beijing meetings, possibly trying to test President Trump's resolve.
The talks have escalated up and moved forward each time they faced a threat like this. Whenever President Trump has held off and said we will delay implementation of tariffs, then the trade negotiations have slowed down. So I'm right now, my bias is that this will move the talks forward, but you never know with China.
From equity markets, agriculture, tech and consumer goods and energy markets, he says no sector is being untouched by this latest back and forth. I'm Andy Eubank.
Moving on to state and local ag news, we have the latest crop progress and condition reports for the state of Illinois after a very wet week last week. For that, we join Mark Sloysener in Springfield.
Wet weather continued across the state last week, and producers had to keep their machinery in the shed yet again. Flooding was reported along the Mississippi River as well as along smaller rivers and streams. Ponding in fields was common, and there was less than one day suitable for field work last week. Topsoil moisture was rated 26% adequate and 74% surplus, while subsoil moisture was 34% adequate and 66% surplus. Temperatures varied widely across Illinois, with northern areas averaging nearly 5 degrees below normal and southern parts of the state nearly 4 degrees above normal. Overall, the state was 1.3 degrees below normal for the week. Rainfall totals were above normal around the state and ranged from more than 1.5 inches to more than 4 inches in the 7 days leading up to Sunday. On Sunday, May 5th, soil temperatures ranged from the lower 50s in northern areas to the upper 50s in southern parts of Illinois. Corn planting advanced by just 1 point and is now 10% finished. That compares to 68% 1 year ago and 66% for the 5-year average. 2% of corn acres have emerged. Soybean planting remained stalled at 3% complete. That compares to 26% 1 year ago and 16% normally. 9% of wheat acres are now heading, compared to 13% 1 year ago and the 5-year average of 32%. The condition of the winter wheat crop declined and is now rated 20% very poor to poor, 42% fair, and 38% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were rated 8% very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 63% good to excellent, a little better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Sloysener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
In other state ag news, in a response to an accident involving anhydrous ammonia this spring, the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association is offering a few reminders. If there is a release, the first thing that must be done is reporting the situation to emergency responders, says the association's Gene Payne.
you know, if this just gets reported by a bystander as a white cloud, who knows what that is? Well, ammonia is not smoke. It's ammonia, and it can kill you. And so we will take, you know, these can be common mistakes that we see happen in downstate Illinois. Those hoses have got to be disconnected when you're on a public roadway. Those valves must be turned off, and you must be able and ready to call the local authorities, the National Response Center, and the Illinois Emergency Management Agency when you have a release. It's fine to call your fertilizer dealer and say, hey, I've got a problem, but you should only do that after you've made those other phone calls.
Late last month, a mishap involved a tractor toolbar and two nurse tanks with ammonia being released in a populated area in Beach Park in Lake County, just outside of Chicago. Several people were hospitalized from the incident. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources is actively recruiting new conservation officers. A conservation officer has the enforcement authority of a local, county, or state police official, but works predominantly in nature, enforcing the rules when it comes to poaching and licensing, and other laws relating to being in public forests and other wildlife areas. Lieutenant Kurt Lewis is a conservation police officer.
Yes, right now we're trying to get everybody that we can that'd be interested in a great law enforcement career that's not your typical police officer, you know, somebody that enjoys the outdoors, likes hunting, fishing, and everything that goes along with that. We're trying to get the applicants to get a CMS 100 application filled out and get ready for the written test that will be opened up the first 2 weeks in June at our CMS testing centers throughout the state.
So what type of enforcement does a conservation officer do? Lewis has more on that.
We have full sworn law enforcement authority throughout the state, which means we can do everything that your local sheriff's officer, local municipal officer, or state police can do as far as traffic, domestics, all that stuff. But our specialty, obviously, is in the outdoors and working with the conservation code and everything that most people like to do when they're recreating and having a good time, whether it be boating, snowmobiling, fishing, hunting, pretty much anything that has to do with the outdoors or the different endeavors that you like to do outside. That's where we come in and enforce the laws and the regulations on that.
To apply to become a conservation officer with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, go to dnr.illinois.gov. And finally, on this Wednesday morning, the month of May is Beef Month throughout the country. So the fine folks with the Central Illinois Livestock Association have donated four $25 gift certificates to Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro in celebration. For your chance to enter to win in this Beef Month promotion, you can email us at the station at WSMI at WSMIradio.com with beef in the subject line, as well as your name and phone number. The last day for entries will be Thursday, May 30th, and four winners will be selected at random on Friday, May 31st. And if you become a winner, you can pick up your certificate here at the station between Litchfield and Hillsboro. Again, to enter to win in this Beef Month promotion made possible by the Central Illinois Livestock Association, you can email us at the station at WSMI at WSMIradio.com with your name and phone number as well as beef in the subject line. Winners will be then drawn at random on Friday, May 31st. And for this Wednesday morning, May 8th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.